The sermon for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is from the Gospel reading, which we have just heard. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is a good source, so when troubled with a question, Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Then Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times." In the name of Jesus, amen. Peter had been walking with Jesus, so gradually and steadily, he's come to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Previously, preceding our readings today, just in last Sunday's text in Matthew chapter 18, Peter had learned about true greatness, along with the devastating stumbles caused by sins, and then restoration. And not only this, but he also grasped how to handle those who have fallen out of greatness, those who have fallen out of grace. And the restoration that they have is a restoration that requires repentance and forgiveness. So, it becomes clear that what Jesus in our text teaches is a recurrent forgiveness. It is not a one-off event. Therefore, with a heart seeking a deeper understanding, or perhaps in search of affirmation, Peter tries to put out a quantifiable measure on forgiveness. He suggests a generous yet limited amount of times, seven times, offering more grace than what the Jewish law would generally dictate. Peter says seven instead of three. So we can almost feel the tender yet firm correction from Jesus as he proposes not seven, but 77 times. And this is the mandate to keep a meticulous record of the wrongs and the forgiveness granted, but this is an invitation to an endless cycle of forgiveness, one that mirrors the Heavenly Father's limitless grace. But why does Jesus expand this number to 77? Is there a deeper meaning to this amount, 77? The answer takes us back to the mystery in God's kingdom. The 77 times isn't just an instruction, but it is a metaphor for a forgiveness that is not burdened by limits. If we were to truly understand Peter's proposition of seven times, we could perceive in it a complete circle of forgiveness. After all, seven represents completeness. However, Peter viewed this as a limit, an end point, not complete forgiveness from the heart. So Jesus guides him to see this new number as a cycle, a boundless and ongoing proclamation where forgiveness never runs dry. If we have that understanding, we find ourselves in a place where forgiveness is not just an act, but it is a mysterious gift bestowed upon us from the kingdom of heaven. And it, the kingdom of heaven when where we view the cross where Christ bore our sins, which means that it is also a testimony to Christ's resurrection, which broke the chains of sin, granting us a new life where we forgive just as we are forgiven. And then we forgive endlessly, and we forgive limitlessly, we forgive ceaselessly, and that is a resounding boundless of the mercy of our Father in heaven. So we then hear further about this teaching through Jesus' parable, where a king forgives an enormous debt. an enormous debt, close to 2,000 lifetimes of wages. Can you imagine that? 2,000 lifetimes of wages? A debt that is so vast that not just the servant, but the generations after him would remain in debt. And that's the debt of someone in the times of Jesus, and then all his descendants, the descendant of that person, are still paying it in the year 2023 years later. But those 2,023 years are only worth 101 talent out of 10,000. Yet, the king forgives. The king in the parable, moved not by the empty promises of repayment, but moved by compassion, a compassion that finds its source in the mercy seat of God. So brothers and sisters, let us pause. Let us pause here and put ourselves in the shoes of the servant, acknowledging the enormity of our debt to our Heavenly Father. However, our debt is not financial, but a result of our sinful actions. Our words that pierce the hearts, the love we withheld, the grudges we fostered, and the forgiveness we denied to others. That is our debt, and it is indeed a debt so astronomical that eternal punishment feels insufficient. So put yourself in the shoes of the servant. But it is all too easy to allow the poison of resentment to sink into our hearts. For each one of us carry within us a ledger, a tally of wrongs committed against us, where we document with meticulous precision every sin and trespass. And we hold on to each perceived injustice, demanding retribution for every penny owed. We hold on to the semblance of control, a sense of justice in our life. Yet by doing so, we become like the unforgiven servant, shackling those we claim to love. We shackle them with chains forged by our anger and self-righteousness. And we become collectors of debt, obsessively pursuing each transgression with a relentless determination, unwilling to let go, unwilling to release, and unwilling to forgive. So let us pause and reflect. Are we not all followers of the same teacher? Disciples guided by the teachings of the mystery of the sacred Lord's Supper, that we believe that there is communion of God and that there is communion amongst us. So like Peter, when we taught the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, that's a plea that illustrates a mutual grace we should extend to one another. A mirror reflecting the measure of forgiveness we should use. For Peter, too, was guided to understand that forgiveness is not a finite resource to be rationed, but it is an infinite compassion from our Father in heaven. And yet we falter, clutching tightly onto our ledgers of perceived injustice, which is a testimony to our own inability to fully embrace the grace that's been granted on us, and the grace of forgiveness of sins that freed our debt. So when we look at Jesus, this parable offers us a warning, a vivid depiction that the wrath we put on ourselves through our unforgiven nature, we hear the words of Jesus when he says, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." That sentence That is a declarative caution illustrating no hope for a person harboring bitterness. For someone said those very words in his book at the seminary, that this parable offers no hope to a person who is unwilling to forgive. No hope for this very servant, and no hope for us if we are unwilling to forgive. So you are indeed the servant who is unmerciful, and you will act like him because you're of sinful nature. You will do the same thing to a certain degree and a certain fashion. And your only way out is Christ. Christ enables you to release your grip on the records of wrong that you've kept, to extinguish the fire of self-righteousness that consumes you, to lay down the burdens of vengeance in your heart, and to walk in the path of forgiveness, a path paved with grace, understanding with the heart, and the boundless love of Christ. So remember that day, that you should remember every day, the first taste of forgiveness was poured on your head in your baptism, and that is the act of grace that renewed your life, and that is the first beginning of God's unending forgiveness for you. And this divine mercy does not stop at 77. It multiplies endlessly day in and day out, nourishing us continuously as we receive it through the word and sacrament on each Sunday. So as you go about your day, reflect on the forgiveness in your heart. What words of forgiveness will reach your lips for your loved ones and your neighbor to hear? Yet, even as we stand here, as children of God's endless mercy, we must acknowledge that forgiveness comes at a price. Just as loans, they just don't disappear. But sins too demand atonement. And our inability to repay this massive debt of sin finds relief in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Only him could pay. It was he who bore the weight of our sins on the cross, pleading for our forgiveness, and he is the mediator. He mediates on our behalf to the Heavenly Father. He, Jesus Christ, who breathed his last breath with a prayer of forgiveness, died and rose again and ascended into heaven and took his place at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, securing for you not just forgiveness, but eternal life. And in him, you find your debt paid, your slates wiped clean, and your life renewed and sanctified. So when you walk this life, this current life, remember that in Christ, you are no longer bound by your sins, but you are made a child of God, called to greatness through forgiveness. You and I are no longer to live in fear of losing your wife and children and all that you have, but you are to thrive because of Jesus Christ and the grace that ensures eternal inheritance in God's kingdom. So let us seize this moment of grace to let go of bookkeeping, to extinguish tallies of resentment, to step into the light of boundless forgiveness. Let us stand firm in the proclamation that we are given, that we are forgiven, that we have a Redeemer who paid for our sins and paid for our debt, and that through him we are all invited to live a life of forgiveness that knows no bounds. We live a life that reflects the very heart of God, a life where we forgive just as we have been forgiven first, and we too forgive endlessly or wholeheartedly, and we forgive unconditionally. That begs us to be bold, brothers and sisters, to live out this call every day for forgiveness, not just one time, but continuously throughout our life, this one life, not 2,000 lives, but this one life. And that will be a testament of the forgiveness bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ. Let us embrace that call that we have, forgiving and forgiven again. That's what Peter receives as an answer as he walks in the same limitless grace. The same grace that he received is the same grace we receive. And we can do it like Peter. We can do it with the help of God and his Holy Spirit, who always points us to the source of forgiveness. And that source is the cross, for Christ bore our sins there. And before the Father, he says, Father, on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You and I, we do not have to plead for ourselves. Jesus is pleading for us before the Father. Then our Father in heaven, in his boundless grace and love, forgives us because he sees the Son and he listens to him. So it is that when the Father looks at you, he sees Jesus Christ on the cross, paying for your sin. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we are blessed. We are blessed with a Father whose patience surpasses all understanding. Withholding his wrath, recognizing the full atonement of our sins through his Son. So to Jesus alone be all the glory. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and mind in Jesus Christ. Amen.